Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hello there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Really good. Good to have you in studio once again. Seems like summer has just been flying by and a lot of people going on vacations, but you're not going on a vacation per se, although parts of Indonesia are quite beautiful.
Oh, they're extraordinary, actually, yes. And so it's always nice when you're called to a place to go and the beauty around you is phenomenal. So there will be a little bit of vacation
time.
Okay,
well, you're going to tell us this week about something you've had on your heart for a number of years, and that is your work in Indonesia.
Yeah, that's right. And as a matter of fact, even at the beginning of this summer, I had Pastor Isaac, who is the missionary that I team up with in Indonesia. And he was in studio with my daughter, Rebecca. And so actually, Rebecca and I are heading back over this week.
Wow.
And so if you're listening to this recording, we always pre-record these. I don't do live sessions. So we're in studio. And so this Wednesday, if you hear me at 1 o'clock, I'm still in Seattle. But if you are listening to this Saturday at 10 a.m., then I am already on a plane and jetting away.
How long does it take to get there?
Oh, it's a 24-hour flight.
Oh, boy, 24 hours.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite
flight?
A doozer. No. Okay. No, there's always some sort of a layover in northern Asia. So last time
Hopefully not Hong Kong.
No, okay. Correct. But that was a ticket that I honestly looked at, and I'm going, man, thank you, Lord, that I stayed away from Hong Kong right now. And so last time we went through Japan, but this time we're going through Taipei. And so actually Taipei, we're getting off for a couple of days. I've never been there, so I figured, well, why not add a couple extra days of a layover? So so on Saturday, as you're listening to this show, we're actually in Taipei, but then the next day on Monday we get on a plane and we head to Jakarta. And so then in Jakarta we'll be there for 5 days. There's several ministry things and kind of business oriented things that I need to take care of. Then we're going to jump back over to where we were in December, which is to Papua, the region of Papua, which is the furthest eastern point of Indonesia. And it is the border town, Jayapura, that we are going to be in, which borders Papua New Guinea. As a matter of fact, over the weekend, there were some wonderful riots and other things because there was a college student thrown in jail, and he is native Papuan. So in other words, he originated from there, and they tend to be mistreated. It's actually the poorest, most financially destitute area of Indonesia. And already Indonesia does not make a lot of money if you live there. So it's a very needed area to go. I believe it's an area that God has preserved for his purposes. And so Rebecca and I are very excited to head back over, connect back up with Pastor Isaac, and just continue the work of encouraging some churches, some pastors, and also we have a full-day business leaders conference. Again, it's a follow-up business leaders conference that we're going to be doing. So all of those things are very exciting. Then we're going to be heading back. So it's going to be a really full and busy 2 weeks. But yes, there is a day specifically set aside for beaches.
I've heard they have wonderful beaches, although they also have some of these terrible earthquakes there.
I was in one last time.
And different things.
Yeah.
And
there was a volcanic eruption that triggered a little bit of a tsunami. And so my family starts calling me when we were over there. I said, no, we're far away from that. I mean, Indonesia is, it actually takes a 5-hour flight from Jakarta to get all the way back over to Jayapura, the further east. So it's like traveling the entire U.S.
Wow.
It's actually a very, very...
Really spread out.
Yeah, very.
But it's like an island nation, many islands.
Just amazing.
And
I don't
beautiful.
Even know how many.
And beautiful.
It is. It's very beautiful.
Mostly Muslim, but there is also a Christian population there,
too. Yeah, it is much smaller. So, but yes, heavily Muslim, but there is a Christian segment of the population. And the beautiful thing that we talked about with Isaac is that even though there is a high Muslim and that the whole government is set up off of Muslim principles, there's not a huge disparity, or there's not a huge repercussion for trying to set up a Christian church right now.
Okay.
So it's actually a pretty decent place to to put forth the gospel. But as soon as you restrict any part of Muslim theology, that's where you're going to run into problems. So if we just stick to the Word of God, then we're pretty safe, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be good.
Okay. Well, on today's show, you're talking about kind of the word that you're going to be bringing there, and kind of your theme behind it.
A little bit for sure is I've really been preparing, and over the past 6 months or more, I've taken a journey personally of what does it mean for me, Paul Grant, and then maybe this will relate to someone else out there. So I want to spend just a little bit of time in giving what God has been working on me personally with, and maybe it'll encourage someone else out there as well. And so that's always my heart, is whether it's from the estate planning side or whether it's from the biblical side, my true heart is that I want to encourage you. I never want to be a discourager. So if we're talking about estate planning, I have very specific views, but it's not intended to put you in a disparaged place. It's meant to motivate you and encourage you that there are solutions. Well, I think God's word is very, very much the same way, which is that we live in a very broken and fallen world, but there is some really, really good news, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came to set us free from this corrupt world so that we can live a life devoted to him, that we can receive and know him, and by that, demonstrate his beauty. So today, I want to share a little bit of the journey I have been on. And really the question I was asking God is, what is the step? What's the process of someone coming to salvation and then becoming a mature and effective Christian? So there's a couple things in that question that I want to pull apart at the beginning. First of all, being a mature Christian can be very different than being an effective Christian. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of very young Christians who are extremely effective. Mm. You get born again, and there just seems to be a natural fire that kindles within us, that joy that was set before us when we realize that we are free from our sin. And there is something exciting, and all of a sudden, a new Christian can have a voice in the public square that is very different sometimes than a mature Christian's. Their natural excitement tends to let their mouth run wild. It's great. I'm not saying that as a negative thing. I'm actually saying it as a compliment. As a matter of fact, many mature Christians look back and maybe we're convicted that we've lost some of that original passion. That we've lost some of that original touch, that when we first came to know the beauty and the mercy of Jesus Christ that did ignite a fire under us, that as we've continued to live this life, it becomes a little more quenched, a little more dull. We get into life. We have to provide for ourselves. We have to make sure we have food on the table, and life just begins to take over again. Well, so in my questioning, in my searching with the Lord concerning what does it mean to become a mature and efficient Christian, there are some things that I began to jot down. And so I'll just share them with you. Is that first, we need to understand that God is good. Everything hinges upon the goodness of God. As a matter of fact, Romans 2 says that it's his loving kindness that draws us to repentance. And so we understand that we're drawn to goodness. We're drawn to his mercy. We're drawn to who he is. But sometimes we lose sight that he is a really, really good God, a merciful God, a kind God, and that his mercies are never ending. And when we lose focus of that goodness, then it begins to take us off the very foundation that Christianity is based upon, which is he is merciful and kind for generation to generation to generation, and his mercies are new every morning. So this whole journey of my questioning, the first thing I jotted down was that we need as Christians to understand the goodness of God. So we're going to come back to that. Second of all, we need to understand that it is not by our own works, but it is by the cross and cross alone that we have established righteousness. we tend to slip back into what I consider the law of works, which is as soon as we taste the goodness of God, then all of a sudden we begin to judge ourselves more harshly, not against the law of faith and mercy and grace, but against that law of works again. And so all of a sudden, we slip right back into a works mentality that somehow I'm going to justify myself or be a good Christian by how I perform or act. And yet the cross's story is that we can't do it on our own, and we can't act in a certain way that is going to allow his righteousness to be increased or decreased. Rather, it is the one act of Jesus Christ, of hanging on a tree, that was our full and absolute justification. And by that justification, we have become God's and God's alone. So our relationship, we are drawn to God by his goodness, and then we are established by his righteousness being imputed upon us, not upon our works, not upon what we can or can't do, but by him and him alone. So understanding these first two premises, the goodness of God that leads us to righteousness by him and him alone, then we begin to see in the Word, which hopefully these two attributes draw us back to God's Word, and that in the Word we begin to see that his goodness is backed up by his promises. The Word of God has over, I don't know how many promises. I forgot to look it up before I did this, but it's thousands of promises. And I've heard people say that some are conditional and some are unconditional. I'm not so sure that I can figure them out. I'm just not that smart to be able to sit down and pull apart what's conditional and what's unconditional. Versus what I see is that God is not a respecter of persons. He demonstrates his mercy, his kindness, and his promises to every single one of us in exactly the same manner. Otherwise, if he gave me something that was promised to all of us, but did not provide it for another person, then all of a sudden God has created a difference. I have a very hard time in the theology that God knows what's best for me so that he can withhold something that he has promised. Well, I'm not so sure that that is biblically accurate, because in order for him to be a God of his word and uphold the truth of his word, which is the very foundation of who he is, if he breaks his word, the entire universe would crumble. So therefore, it's my perspective, it's my seeing in the scripture that God is good. And in 2 Corinthians, it says that every promise of God is yes in him and amen in him through us for his glory. And so the promises of God are the next step in our Christian growth, which is we need to understand that his promises are yes and amen, that they are through us for his glory. And so therefore, his promises, understanding his promises, are the next step in our Christian growth.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant, normally an estate and tax planning attorney, this week putting on his faith hat a little bit more.
That's right, as I prepare to head over to Indonesia. And so this has just been stirring in my heart. So,
well, if people do have questions, maybe they want to find out more about your trip, or maybe want to support you financially for your trip, you never know. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website. It's called legacyandfaith.com. And there you can find out more about what we do as a law firm, the seminars coming up, ways to contact us. So I'd love for you to reach out to us, introduce yourself. I'd love to talk and hear from our listening audience.
LegacyandFaith.com. Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, Paul Grant emphasizing the faith portion of his ministry and his outreach as he gets ready to go to Indonesia.
That's right.
And you're getting getting into the subject of the grace of God this week, a message you'll be sharing there in Indonesia.
Yeah, and so we were leading into break with kind of the steps that I've been seeking God on as far as how to become a mature and efficient, both of those combined, believer. And efficient, what I really mean is that we are seeing the goodness of God come out of our lives and influencing those around us for the kingdom of God. And so we built it upon the goodness of God. By his goodness, we understand that we are made righteous by his act and his act alone. And that leads us to the scripture so that we can uncover his promises and find out that he is faithful to fulfill his promises. But then we have this contradictory story in this earth realm, which is that there's a real enemy who has real authority on earth because it was given to him by Adam. And so therefore, the enemy is always in opposition. He only knows to kill, steal, and destroy. He does not know any goodness at all. His entire objective is to bring in conflict, to bring in his worldly system into our thinking. All of these things so that we can then begin to be diverted away from the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God, because this world interacts and begins to step in and take us back to looking at what is happening in our earthly circumstances. And that chips away oftentimes at our faith, at our understanding. But see, if we understand and if we have the knowledge that there is a legal right for the enemy to test that faith, that fortitude that we say God is good and his promises shall be seen by us, then it begins, then that intervenes sometimes in our ability to really truly hunker down and have faith that is unwavering, which is really the final part of our journey, which is an unwavering faith. And I did a whole series on that. It's up on our website, which is The Journey of Faith. And it talks more in depth about that issue. And so that's really the premise by our journey of maturity and efficiency, is that we want to be at a place to where faith is our governing factor. So how does that happen? Well, we need to understand this, that being in the Word produces greater knowledge. As a matter of fact, 2 Peter in 3:18, his last word was, "Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it was Peter stating to us, this is my heart's desire, that you grow in grace and you grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing in 2 Peter is that that's how he starts the entire book, is that he goes, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." So there's some connection here that Peter understood, that in for the grace to increase in our lives, we need to have an understanding and a knowledge that is deeper and deeper in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that really comes out of being in the Word of God. That really comes out in seeking after and having a heart after our Lord Jesus. So how do we then come to this place? So let's kind of take a couple steps backwards. In John 1:14, John writes, that Jesus, the Word, dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth. So there are some of those intervening factors again. Grace and truth is exactly who Jesus was. Do you have a question of how do I become more like Jesus? Well, John told us that he acted and he exuded and he was all about grace and truth. I believe that what made Jesus so attractive in his day and age was that people could see grace and truth on him. When he spoke, it resonated grace and truth. When he prayed for people, it resonated grace and truth. And by that grace and truth, Jesus Christ opened up the doors of heaven so that God could respond through that grace and truth to actually manifest the power of the kingdom of God so that it can then touch those around him. So we need to be a people of grace and truth. And John continued and said that we've received his fullness, grace for grace, and that the law of Moses was first established. But now, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have grace and truth that we have become through Christ. And that's an interesting contrast there in verse 17 of John 1, which is that John is contrasting two differences. Well, so we understand that the word contrast, right? To contrast something means that there's a state of being that is strikingly different from something that is closely associated. So in other words, these two systems are closely associated. The law of Moses versus the law of grace and truth. They're closely associated, but yet there's a striking difference. The striking difference is that the law of Moses was a system set up of do's and don'ts, ways that we needed to come before our Heavenly Father to be accepted by him. Well, that has been strikingly different now with the law of faith and grace, which is that now by Jesus Christ and accepting him, that he is the Lord Jesus, that he is the only way unto the Father, that striking difference between the law is that grace has now come. And we get to live under the law of grace instead of under the law of Moses. And so these comparisons, these striking comparisons, is one way of living that has now been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And that fulfillment allows us a different way of living. A different way of living is that we can now receive grace and mercy, not based upon our acts, but based upon the cross and the very work of Jesus Christ. But how do you enter into that? So the very first thing in this journey of faith is that we must bow our knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And maybe there are people who are listening to my voice today that says, fine, I want to mature as a Christian, or I would want to understand more about Christianity, but you need to start with the very first act. And that very first act is that we need to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it's a free gift is what has been given to us. It's not a gift that we have to work for. We don't have to change our ways in order for God to love us and accept us. Rather, it is completely opposite of what this world has given to us. This world is set up on a bartering system. It's set up on a system that if you give, I'll give. If you take, I'll take. Rather, Jesus entered into the world based upon an absolute Heavenly Father who loves us and wants to have fellowship with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so what does it take? The scripture says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of God, that you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the destruction of our soul. Saved from the destruction that sin would separate us for eternity from the heaven, from our Heavenly Father. So maybe you are within earshot and you have to take the very first step today in this in this journey of entering into grace and faith? Well, it is as simple as accepting the free gift that God has given us. And that free gift simply says that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So if you are there and that's what you need as your first step, or if you have fallen away from God and you need to reaffirm this first step in your life, God has been chasing you. And he would say to you, simply turn your face to me. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the only way to salvation, and I shall be your God. And so if that is your heart's desire today, please turn your face to him. Simply call upon the name of God, and it's not complicated. Simply say, God, I need you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, and please be my Lord and be my Savior. Your sins shall be forgiven, and you shall start a new journey with Jesus Christ here and today.
Amen. Some of the heart of Paul Grant as he gets ready to go to Indonesia. Of course, that's a great message, whatever part of the world you're in.
That's right. That is.
The grace of God this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, focusing on the faith aspect as Paul gets ready to head out to Indonesia for a lot of training, business training, but also a lot of preaching,
yep.
I think.
Yep, in churches, that's right. Just bring this message of grace and how good God is my passion.
Okay, if people are listening and they want to know maybe more about your outreach in Indonesia, of course, all of the services you provide as well in estate and tax planning, how do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com. We'll return with another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant next time here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.